now joined by Ant Timpson, the director of the new film Bookworm. How are we doing this morning, Ant?
I'm doing really well. We had the New Zealand premiere last night, so feeling a bit shattered. But yeah, it was great to see it with a, you know, first big audience. A lot of them brought their kids along, which was really cute. Mm-hmm. It's just a wild experience for me. My history is so, you know, in the films of a very different nature, so to speak. And so to make a very broad family friendly movie, it was really a nice change, you know?
Yeah, I mean, your last one was called Come to Daddy, which is quite as a horror comedy, exactly. With Elijah Wood. It looks very brutal, so it's definitely a change of pace.
It's a change of pace. But you know what? The weird thing is that there's still a lot of the same writer, same creator, you know, Elijah's in it, and a lot of the same creatives. So it's like a family film with bite, which is like the type of films I grew up with, where I still have these memories of watching the films in the 70s, these family movies, because there's always scenes where you like just burn into your synapses, like, holy smokes, I can't believe I saw that as a kid. So we wanted to capture a little bit of that kind of sense where it wasn't pandering just to kids. It was like
a little bit of edginess there. Yeah.
A little bit of bite, you know, just a small amount, just enough to get us right on that edge of that PG
for sure
line.
For sure.
Yeah.
So the new film is called Bookworm. Do you consider yourself to be a bookworm?
I used to be a voracious bookworm. I'm very similar in terms of Mildred, the character who is obviously the titular bookworm in the film. That I was just immersed in books as a kid, and I started writing my own fantasy novels when I was very young. So you could call me an absolute bookworm. And you know what? Life catches up and just starts taking over, and then you start thinking about taxes and all these other things, that this crap that invades your world. And I started switching over to nonfiction, but I really want to slow down everything and start getting back into fiction in a big, big way, because I used to love it. Mm-hmm.
Brings a bit more, I guess, romance into your life. You know, you can romanticize about all these things rather than dry nonfiction books. They can be a bit of a task sometimes.
You've got to disconnect, though, eh? You have to disconnect. You can't. You're just going to be doom scrolling until you hit the grave, I think. So
yeah,
this is a love letter to the kind of films that I grew up with. And you know, as a kid, there was just such a big sense of wonder. I'm from Southern Stock. There was no parental supervision, so we kind of like designed this film about a young girl and her washed up illusionist dad who comes over from America to look after her, and they both decide to go camping and search for the Canberra Panther, and it all goes awry as usual. But it's really, it's about an odd couple that kind of bond and become a family through external pressures.
One thing you mentioned there about the story is the Canterbury Panther. Are you a Canterbury Panther truther?
You make it sound like I'm some conspiracy theorist, mate. I'm a believer, not a truther. I'm an absolute believer. But, you know, full disclosure, I was very much a Bigfoot believer. I was a believer in the Bermuda Triangle. I was terrified the first time we flew to the US in the 70s. I thought, I was very concerned about the Bermuda Triangle sucking us down. I thought I could encounter Bigfoot. So that's the world I grew up in. And so, yeah, this is paying homage to back when the world was a lot more mysterious and the sense of wonder about it. And so the Canterbury Panther fits that to a T. I bored everyone to death in the whole region by asking for big cat stories. And boy, I got some goodies. I'm a believer.
Did you ever consider, instead of using the Canterbury Panther, using the Fiordland Moose? Did you ever consider that?
Well, hey, we've got to do a sequel, right?
I mean, honestly. the interesting thing about, I think, Elijah Wood's character is that he's an illusionist. Why did this vocation stick out to you for the protagonist?
Well, Toby and I, the writer, we love using Elijah as an avatar for all our kind of, like, inside baseball jokes and male neuroses and parental fear. We just throw it, he's just a coat hanger for all our baggage where we can mine for comedic effect. So we kind of think of these characters that are real sort of outliers, kind of like, he's such got inherent goodwill with audiences, just being a lovely human being in general, but also so much charisma on screen that you kind of make him, you can make him like an insufferable character. Like in Come to Daddy, he was an entitled, rich, white, LA brat, wannabe, muso, Skrillex, wannabe. So it was this one, it was like, you know, what's the equivalent of that? And it was like, well, let's make him like a Chris Angel, early 2000s, illusionist, those kind of guys with a lot of pomp, but let's strip him back and make him like someone who might have nearly reached the peak, but then completely bottomed out, and now he's just making balloon animals for Vin Diesel and stuff. So,
oh, that's brutal. It's,
yeah, so you start them off, you're like, we wear him down, and then he's kind of built up through the film between the relationship with him and his daughter, and it's, yeah, I mean, I just find it funny. Like, he's such a fun actor to work with.
I bet. He seems like a real fun guy. The premise for Bookworm came about with you and your co-writer, Toby, having a collective fear of failing in front of your kids. What is the most embarrassing thing that you think you've failed in front of your kids?
Well, it came from a lot of the inspiration was this family little outing that we had with my kids were younger, with my wife and my sister and two of them, and we were going around the edge of an island because someone said, oh yeah, it's really great to walk around the tip of this island at low tide. And we did, and then suddenly the tide came in and there was no room to move. The cliffs were like vertical 100 meter cliffs. Mm-hmm. The water was rising, and it went from like laughable bad scenario to like people falling over, getting cut up, and then suddenly like we need to keep the cell phone dry because we're going to have to make an emergency call to get rescued.
Oh my God.
And I just remember my kids looking to me and wanting to be that hero of the movies that you wish you are in terms of things, but I kind of shat the bed and I thought like I laugh about it afterwards. It was a great story to tell, like, because it goes on forever. It was a horrible experience when it happened. But I thought, like, you've got to mine, for cathartic reasons, it's always good to mine these traumas for comedic fun. So that was kind of like, yeah, where it all stemmed from.
Crack up, man, crack up. I don't know if we have a whole lot of time left, so I'll just ask you this one last question. I'm curious to know, what are your plans, your watch plans for the International Film Festival, and have you got any kind of formulation of your next movie idea rolling around in that cranium?
Yeah, I'm going to catch up with heaps from the festival. There's a new section which is very similar to my old Incredibly Strange, and my friend's film Sasquatch Sunset. Oh man, come on, a Bigfoot film. I started working with those guys on that film. I was trying to find money to make that film and never eventuated, so I was so happy when they finally made it. That's my pick of the fest. It's like a tone poem, non-dialogue, just hanging out with a Bigfoot family throughout four seasons, and it's incredible. So there's enough there. For next ideas, you've got to have like five things on the boil because they all fall over constantly. So I've got a few projects. I've got this dream project with the same writer, same creative team as Come to Daddy and Bookworm. That we've been trying to get up for a while, so hopefully that one comes. Otherwise I'll pivot and help other people make their films and just keep busy, man. Keep creating.
Nice. Sounds good. It sounds like you've got a lot in your mind. Hope to see your name on one of the next Marvel movies.
I seriously doubt that.
Alrighty, take care, Ant. It was great chatting with you.
Thanks, buddy. See you, Zach.
See you, mate. That was director Ant Timpson chatting about the new film he's made, Bookworm, starring Elijah Wood. There's an advanced screening in Aotearoa, Dunedin on Tuesday the 6th of August at Queensgate at 6 p.m. if you want to get there early. Otherwise, it is out in cinemas on August 8th. Because The Clean are on the soundtrack, we're going to play some Clean. Here is The Clean with In the Dream Life, You Need a Rubber Soul. Up next, interview-wise, we have a kōrero with old mate Mystery Waitress about their new album, Bright Black Night. This is the one, The Clean, keeping it real.
More of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.